Thank you. John has a hurt leg there, but still did great in singing, and so we appreciate that very much. I want to speak this morning on three cheers for mom, three cheers for mom. You know, oftentimes as I was coming up as a young man, my dear mother would sacrifice for us boys. I had three brothers, and she would sacrifice, and we would try to show appreciation. We really would. We would go out of our way to try and show appreciation on a Mother's Day, on her birthday, and different times throughout the year, we would do special things just for mom, and we just wanted to show her how much we loved her, and so we would just do some special things just to say, I love you. Oftentimes, I've always been a little note writer, and so I'd write her a 3x5 card or something like that. Probably, if texting was available when I was coming up, I would probably spend a lot of time just texting and saying, I love you, and I hope you have a good day, as often I do, of course, with my wife and our daughter that lives a piece away. And so, you know, Mother's Day came about slow. It just came about slow. Julia Ward Howe, she, by the way, was the one that penned the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, suggested that there be an International Mother's Day to celebrate mothers and peace back in 1872. It never really took off, but that kind of sparked, if you would please, the interest of it in another mother's heart by the name of Anna Jarrus. And Anna Jarrus, of course, she tried to establish a Mother's Day as being a national holiday, and nobody really was interested in that. And so she was the Sunday school superintendent of her church there in West Virginia. And so she talked the pastor into having a special day for mothers. And so he thought it was a great idea. And so he did it. And then it went to another church, and it went to another church, and it went to another church. She died in 1905. But because it was sparked around America through churches, it eventually became known as a national holiday. Matter of fact, in 1908, there was 500 in attendance, and they practiced something that she herself had not even done, and that was that they would pass out a white coronation to those mothers that were present. But in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday. It's always been, of course, the second Sunday of May ever since, and it's always been greatly celebrated, and I think it's a grand day. I think it's a grand day to be able to do that. I'm also glad that we have a thing. It's called Father's Day, and I'm glad about that. Well, you'll see noteworthy in our Bible, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It does talk about fathers and mothers, and something similar that they have that they can be able to look at and their children could be able to look at is noted in these particular verses. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible says, my son, keep thy commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them. Now, what are you binding? You're binding that which is the commandment of a father and the law of a mother. In other words, the things they taught you, don't forget them as long as you live. Lessons, you could be and should be able to look back at things that your mother has taught you, whether she has passed on or whether she is still living today. You should be able to look back and say, boy, I remember my mother teaching me that thing or that principle. I can remember how she did this or she did that, and I learned great things from it. Verse 21, the Bible says to bind them continually. It says upon thy heart, and it says, and to tie them about thy neck. Then it says, and when thou goest, it shall lead thee. So there's some good principles you're going to learn from a mom. In particular, as we talk about Mother's Day today, there's good principles you're going to learn from a mom, and those principles that you learn from a mom, you can be able to allow them to lead you as you go about your way. Then it says, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. So there's security in some of the principles that you learn. And then, of course, when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And so we understand that there's the influence of a mother. Somebody said, mother's influence is that which rocks the cradle and gives sound wisdom to both kings and presidents. Abraham Lincoln, I read a lot of things about Abraham Lincoln. I probably have more books in my library about his personal life, some of them written in the 1800s and some of them, of course, written in the 1900s. But I reference him a lot and some of the things that he has done in his life. He had several quotes about mothers. He said this, he said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother." He said this also, he said, "A poor man is never poor who has a godly mother." He also said this, "I remember my mother's prayers, how they followed me all the days of my life, and they have clung onto me all the days of my life." He said this, "Behind every great man is a great mother." Then he said, "All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe," he said, "to my angel mother." I read about George Washington as the ladies were going off of the platform and heading back to their seats. But George Washington wrote a note in his memoirs here. He says this, he says, "My mother was the most important and most beautiful woman I ever saw. All that I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success, intellectual, physical, and educational, to that which I received from my mother." D.L. Moody said this, he said, "All that I've ever accomplished, I owe to my godly mother." Henry Ward Beecher said this, he said, "God pardons like a mother whose kisses are for that which is an offense and into everlasting forgiveness." There was a day when, of course, the Statue of Liberty was given to us as a gift. Of course, it's there in New York Harbor. And the one that was the sculpture of the Statue of Liberty kept trying to find the face that he would put on the Statue of Liberty. And all of a sudden, he went back in his remembrance and remembering his mother, and he chose the face of his mother to be on the Statue of Liberty. Moms today live under a different pressure than those that lived under it perhaps 10 years ago, 20, 30, certainly 50 years ago. Today, our society, especially here in the West, is driven by success, is driven by productivity. And so somebody rightfully said this, that in the viewpoint of the world, a mother has to have a successful career. I said in the viewpoint of the world, I didn't say in the viewpoint of God. But the Bible teaches about how to be a good mother, why we should honor, we'll get into that. But in the viewpoint of the world, a successful mom has to have a successful career, has to keep the house spotless, has to have perfect children, has to be a gourmet chef, has to be one that looks like a model and is charming in all of her conversational matters. It was Michael Milton. Michael Milton is an attorney, and he put a monetary value on what it would cost to hire a mother with the variations of things that she does. He says, well, let's consider the variation of things that she does do. She has to be a chauffeur. She has to be a gardener. She has to be a family counselor. From time to time, she has to be a maintenance worker. From time to time, she has to be the one that does all the cleaning in the house. She has to be a housekeeper. She has to be a chef. She has to be an errand runner. She has to be excellent in keeping books. She has to be an interior decorator. She has to be a caterer, a dietitian. She has to be a secretary and also a wonderful host. He said, well, if you was to put that in a world's study, you would find out, especially here in the U.S., that she would probably earn in today's market $985 a week, or $51,220 a year. We know this. You might not be able to pay mom with that which is the monetary value, but certainly you ought to pay her with honor. And so I want to speak, as I said a moment ago, on three cheers for mom. Think about this, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Honor and thy mother." Picks up in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, where again the emphasis is to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, if we're going to do that, I think we ought to go to the Bible and find out what God says we ought to do to be able to honor our fathers and our mothers. Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, honor her with your love. Honor her with your love. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 20, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26, the Bible says, he that wasteth his father, and it says, chaseth away his mother, as a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Okay? Well, the opposite of that which is wrongdoing is that which is right doing. So what should we do? Well, find ways to honor your mother. You might could do that by a phone call. Some mothers today, you could honor them because you've not done it often just by a simple phone call. Perhaps today you could honor your mother by giving her a gift, maybe something that she wants. Most certainly not something that she doesn't want. But you find something that you, and by the way, don't give her a gift, if you would please, where you are vicariously the receiver of that. Mom, I always know that you wanted a tractor, so I'm buying you a tractor today. Mom, I always know that you needed a garden hoe, so I'm giving you a garden hoe so you can hoe the garden to be able to feed me, you know? Find something that she wants. Find something, if you would please, that would interest her, some type of gift. Hey, maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do an IOU. See, I don't have much money, Pastor. You could do an IOU. I owe you 3 house cleaning days a week. Well, that'd be good. You know, I owe you 4 times, if you would please, in the year that I'm going to clean the car. That'd be good. You know, I owe you time to be able to take care of all the laundry. I owe you. And then give her about 5, 6, 30, 40, 50, 2, 3, 4, 500 of those. And say, you can cash them in anytime you want. Okay? Now, I'm saying this. You can give her a gift. You could give her a gift. Perhaps you could do this. Perhaps you could be able to set the table for her. Sure. Perhaps you could cook the meal if you are a cook. Perhaps you could be able to do some other things. It'd be nice maybe to open the door for her, make sure she gets all of her body parts in, and then shut the door. I mean, I'm just saying that you could do some things to be able to show her love. You can honor your mom today by showing her love with your love. Statement number two, you can honor her with your lips. You can honor her with your lips. You know, spoken words mean a lot. Unspoken words are never heard. So maybe you could honor her with your lips, saying the words, I love you, saying the words, I'm proud of you. Saying the words, I'm glad that you are my mom. Saying the words, you're the best mom any person could ever have. Saying the words of, I'm glad you're mine. You know, just saying words to be able to honor. You could think of these things, write them down, and then go practice them. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, the Bible says, there's a generation that causeth their father, that curseth their father. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. You ought to try to be a blessing to your mother. Well, how do you do that? You do that by honoring her with your lips. You can honor her by what you don't say. By what you don't say. Okay, mom spends all day trying to fix this lavish type of meal, a delicious meal. You take one bite of it, and with that disgusting look on your face, you say this word, yuck. It's terrible, you may say. You may say, I never tasted anything as horrible as that. All right, now you may think something like that, but you don't have to utter that. Hello? I'm saying this morning. I'm saying you can honor her with your lips by the things that you don't say. Over in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, the Bible says that everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, we don't live in that era, but we do live in the era of putting to death relationships. We do live in the era of putting to death relationships. You can actually destroy a relationship by not building it with your lips. You try to build that relationship with your lips. It doesn't cost you anything to say something nice. It doesn't cost you anything to be kind to someone. And if you're going to be kind to someone, why not be kind to that one that brought you into the world? My daddy used to say to us boys, he said, "Mama brought you into this world, but if you don't behave, I'll take you out of this world." So you can thank God for that which is the mom that brought you into this world. Look, you ought not ever be somebody that is somebody that shows no respect. Show respect. Don't back talk. Don't argue all the time. Every time you get with your mother, even those that are grown adults, you have to be careful. You know, now you've received a little bit of education and you think you're very smart, and now every time you talk with your mom, it turns into an argument. Don't let it be that way. Don't let it be that way. Don't let your intelligence overshine that which is your practical love for your mother. Always complaining, always whining, always with the rude speech, always, if you would please, with a smart aleck remark. And by the way, you didn't always give smart aleck remarks. What happened? What happened? What changed inside of you? Why is it now that you think that you are the one that is the most important in the world? Why don't you be able to elevate, love, and encourage your mother? Unkind words, hateful words. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, the Bible says, her children riseth up and call her, listen to it now, blessed. Blessed. Didn't say bless her out, said blessed. What's that mean? That means that you speak good things about your mother. The Bible says, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. So there's words of gratitude, thank you. Words of gratitude, appreciate it. Words of gratitude means a lot to me. Words of gratitude, it's wonderful. Okay? And so use some words of gratitude. Use some words of praise. Mom, that was a great meal. You say, well, I can't praise the whole meal. Okay, but you can praise the biscuit. You can praise the macaroni and cheese. Hello? You don't have to say that, boy, I tell you, it was all terrible. You can pick out certain things and praise. Your mother comes up to you and says, honey, how do I look today? You don't have to say you look old. You could say your hair looks great. You did a great job. You say, well, they'll see through that. Not necessarily, because of the fact they're not used to you saying anything. It would be better for you to say something than nothing. Can I tell you the way to make friends and keep friends is be kind to them? Can I tell you the way to make friends and keep friends is to keep on loving? Can I tell you the way to make friends and keep friends is stop being all about you and decide that you are the least important in the relationship? Do we understand this morning? We understand that there needs to be words of gratitude, words of praise, words of encouragement. A mom spends all day cleaning the house and you walk in. Mom, wow, look at this house. You did a great job on that. Instead of tromping in the mud where she just spent all day cleaning. Just words of encouragement. Mom, thank you for folding my clothes and putting them in my drawer. By the way, if she didn't, you would have to. You could give words of encouragement. I'm saying this, practical sermon this morning. You can respect. You can respect. There's nothing wrong with saying yes, ma'am. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with saying no, ma'am. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong that if you're sitting in a seat and there all the other seats are filled, nothing wrong with you getting up and saying, Mom, here, you sit here. You sit here. Nothing wrong with giving her the most comfortable seat in the house. Nothing wrong with that. You say, well, that's my seat. That's your problem. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can be able to love with, be able to honor with love. You can honor with your lips. Here it is. You can honor with your life. You can honor with your life. Don't make bad choices. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon says, a wise son maketh the glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. Heaviness of the mother. You ever see a mother that all of a sudden she gets a sad countenance? By the way, if you know your mother well, can you tell when you do things that hurts her by her face? Can you tell that? Can you tell that? I like to look at faces when I preach. I'm not one of these guys that just kind of looks at a blank wall. I like to look at faces. To be honest with you, I like to look at faces that encourages me while I preach. If I see somebody and they're making this kind of like weird face, probably 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to look at them too much during the service, because I'm going to begin to think they're weird. So I'm just very, very careful where I look as a preacher. If I see somebody, all of a sudden I'm saying something, they look like they're mad at me, I'm probably not going to look at them too many times during the service, because my thought life's going to go, wonder what they're mad at. Now, to me, I don't know. They might have had a stomach ache, or it might be because of the person sitting next to them, and I'll move on. But you'll notice this, okay? Here's what happens. You can make bad choices and it disturbs your mom. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, the Bible says, a foolish son is a grief, it says, to his father, and bitterness, the Bible says, to her that bear him. You know, you can cause your mom to become bitter. Oh, not just bitter at you, my friend, but bitter at God because of your activity. Listen to it. How is it that we can honor her with our life? So don't make bad choices. Don't be disobedient. Still living at home. Obey. Obey. My dad, as my dad got saved, my dad began to learn a little bit of the Bible. Not very much before he died, but a little bit of the Bible. And one day he came across that verse. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. He said, that goes along with every discipline I ever gave you boys. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Now, may I say that we understand that we ought to be individuals, those that live at home. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. There's some things that mom said, I want you to do this. Here's my law. Here's my law. I want you to do this. I want you to put away your clothes. That's my law. That's my law. I want you to be able to help with the lawn care. That's my law. That's my law. I want you to be able, if you would, to be on time when you come home. Here's the curfew. That's the law. That's my law. Well, you know, when you don't keep that law, you are grievous to your parents, especially the Bible talks about the mother you're grievous to. All right, so how is it that we can honor her with our life? Don't be disrespectful. The Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, the Bible says, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The eye. You ever see somebody that they disagree with something, or they become rebellious with their eyes? They shift their eyes. Mom or dad tells you to do something, and all of a sudden you shift your eyes, like, you know, like, I don't want to do that. You're kidding me. I don't want to do that. Okay? Be careful with your eyes. Show respect, if you will. How about this? Honor with your choices. How about not being lazy? Not being lazy. You know, there has to come a time, and we even tell our college students this, there has to come a time when you learn to get up on your own. Believe it or not, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but I'm just telling you how it is. Some of our college students have a 7 o'clock class, and sometimes somebody's got to go over to wake them up because they don't have the character to get up when the alarm goes off. Now, that's a shame. But can I tell you, it's also a shame for a teenager to be that way. Oh, you said, but that's why God invented the snooze. God did not invent the snooze. Man invented the snooze. So you just hit it over and over and over and over and over again. You know, you say, well, I tell you what, I can't get up. Every time it comes time to get up, I press that off button and I oversleep. Okay, then get yourself a second alarm. Put it about 10 feet from the bed. You got to get up. Matter of fact, make that the biggest one. Make that the one that sounds like the foghorn. Or if you would, please, the tractor and trailer that just came up suddenly behind you. Okay? And make that, you say, well, the neighbors will hear it. Good. Maybe they'll help you get up too. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying don't be lazy. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. So what do? You be somebody that is accountable. Don't be unaccountable. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the Bible says, a rod in reproof, give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Be accountable. A child left to themselves. That's talking about you. Left to yourself. What does it do? You'll make some foolish decisions. You'll bring shame in the house. Don't hang around the wrong crowd. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7. The Bible says, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. So don't hang around the crowd that's going to get you in trouble. By the way, you do not have to be somebody that's very smart to know what type of crowd's going to get you in trouble. You don't have to be super intelligent to figure that out. All you've got to do is to look at what they're doing, what their habits are, where they're going, where they should not be going. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that I probably should not get on that type of rocket. You can be an individual that says they're just not obeying God. They're not obeying the Bible. If they don't love God enough to obey Him, they don't love God enough to obey the Bible, then perhaps I need not to hang around them. And you decide. You know, most young people that go wrong because of friends. Can I help you out a little bit? Most adults that go wrong because of friends. Most of the wrong decisions you make is because you learned a wrong decision from someone else. So what do you decide? You decide to go to God, let God help you rather than man messing you up. Here's what we understand. We understand that we should be able to honor her. We honor her with our life. Don't get away from God. Stay close to God. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24, the Bible says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth, listen to it, a wise son, it says, shall have joy. So what do you do? Okay, so you got somebody in your household, you got a mom, you got a dad that's not saved. Listen to me. Always remember this. Yet. See, here's the deal. God wants them saved. It's God's will that they get saved. If they're not saved yet, can I tell you, there's probably going to come a day when they open up their heart to the gospel. There is probably going to come a day as you concentratedly pray for them and give them a gospel witness, and you try and get other people to give them a gospel witness, there's probably going to come a day that they get saved. Now listen to me. They're still going to remember you. Just because they got saved doesn't mean that they're going to forget all the foolishness that you did. Don't be a stumbling block for your parents that's not saved. Don't be a stumbling block for those that have not yet come to know Christ as Savior. I was out soul winning yesterday, and Brother Yao and I went to, when he was with me, a trailer park, and then I went out to houses after that, but just in the trailer park in the morning time when it was just he and I had the privilege to lead several people to Christ, and one of the guys that I led to Christ, 27 years of age, he said this, he said, you know, I've lived here for so many years, and it was several years, he said, it's the first time anybody ever came by my trailer. He said, I just want to thank you. And then he said this, and kind of poking at me a little bit. He said, what took you so long? But at least I had the ability to be able to go by and give him that gospel. Now, I'm saying this morning. Look, don't get away from God. Stay close to God. Don't let your kids, listen to me now. Listen to me, moms. Listen to me, dads. Don't let your kids remember the time when you skipped church just because you were tired. Don't let your kids point back to that. So how is it that I can make that true? You stay faithful. You be where you're supposed to be. Well, you know, one day I got busy. We're all busy. And by the way, busyness is an excuse. So don't allow things to come up in your life that's going to propagate that which is a wrong testimony. And with the children, let it be so among your parents as well. May I say this, and just think about this, if you will. We're talking about honor her with your life. How about this? Think about it. Don't get away from God. Let me give you this one thing to go along with that statement. In 3 John 1:4, it says this. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, I'm being honest, we have some good kids that we love that are our children. And as far as I know, by God's grace, they're all still walking in truth. I don't have the challenge of having one of my kids being on drugs. I don't have that challenge. I pray for people that have that, but I don't have that. I don't have the challenge of somebody, if you would please, that's a drunk, that's a child. I don't have that. I thank God I don't have that. I don't have that. Now, it doesn't mean that mom and I were such great parents, but God gave us some children that decided they wanted to be able to love truth. Now, I say lastly, I said statement number one, how is it that we can be able to give 3 cheers for mom? We can give 3 cheers for her by honoring her with your love, honoring her with your lips, honoring her with your life. Then I'm done. Here it is. Honor her with your legacy, your legacy. Listen to it. Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfallen faith that is in thee. We read this verse a lot. We remember Timothy, and we give great attention to his mom and to his grandmother. And that's good. That's good. But here's talking about young Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfallen faith, it says that is in thee. So how is it that we can honor our mom? We can do this. We can honor her by our legacy. You'll hear it tonight. I'm preaching tonight. I was going to preach because of the abortion thing that's hitting the news everywhere, and because everybody's saying, well, you know, we need to do this, and go ahead and turn that phone off, if you will, but we need to do this, and we need to do that. But, you know, here's what we understand. We understand this, what a child is taught, okay, will stay with them the rest of the days of their life. So tonight, I'm going to speak about Christian education and why it's so important that your kids get under the right type of educational program. And I'm going to give you Bible principles to follow to prove to you that you ought not to throw away your children by putting them under some other vice of education. Now, understand this tonight, as I speak on that, I'm not going to go in with a shotgun and blow everything up, but it's important that we train our children while they're young to go the right direction. Because there's going to be a day when all that they've learned with that, I think it's 1,100 hours, if you would please, a week or so or something like that, 1,100 hours a year or something. I'll give them out specific time. But what I'm saying is they have a lot of influence, those that are educating our children. Now, you have a lot of influence as a child, too, on your parent. You know, when you get older, you know, your parents will be able to look at you and say, wow, I'm so glad, you know, maybe they did catch something. Maybe they did catch something. Maybe something I said did have an effect on them. But they will live out what they've been trained with. So how do you do it? How is it that you can honor them with your legacy? Well, protect your name. My dad used to say, hey, you're Wells. Never forget that you're a Wells. There's some things that Wellses do not do. There's some things that Wellses do not do. Okay, when I became a Christian, there's something that was elevated above my name, and that was the word Christian. There's just some things a Christian does not do. Now, I want us to see something. Over in Psalm 16 and verse 6, the Bible says, in lines, it says, are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. So what do? To be able to honor mom, you honor her with your legacy. You've got a goodly heritage. What's that mean? It means work hard. Work hard. Well, one thing my dad instilled inside of me was that work ethic. That work ethic. I've never gone away from that work ethic. Okay? Be that person, if you would, please. Honor her by staying pure in your thought life, in your physical appearance, and your physical being. By being honest, by being faithful, by being, if you would, please, a good wife or a good mother or a good husband or a good father, you know, being that one that walks. Then what do you do? A statement last, and that is this. Honor her by promoting her name. Talk good about her. Oh, man, we live in a day where everybody talks good about themselves, but they have a hard time talking good about somebody else. That's the day we live in. Everybody's always talking about them. Oh, this is what I've done. This is what I know. This is who I am. But you're not a self-made person, my friend. There's been many influences in your life that made you who you are today. And one of those influences is your mother. So what do? You honor her, if you will, by promoting her name, if you will. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So how can you honor her? Break, if you would, please, the chain of divorce. Once you get married, honor her by staying married. Break the chain of divorce. Break the chain of addictions. You have an addiction? Hey, good reason to break your addictions, because you love your mother. You know what would be a great Mother's Day gift? If you called your mom up today and said, look, I've been drinking for years, but as of today, it's done. It's done. I remember my dad calling me and him saying, and my dad was a drunk. My dad was a drunk. He just had trouble with liquor. But I remember my dad calling me after he got saved. He said, Mike, guess what I'm doing? I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm pouring all the liquor down the drain. He said, no more for me. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying by making good decisions, you can honor your parents. You can stop the chain of addiction. You can stop the chain of apathy. Well, my mom hadn't talked to me for years. Since my mom hadn't talked to me for years, I'm not going to talk to her. Oh, you apathetic, poor little creature. You know, you ought to decide to take the first step. You ought to decide to show the love. You pretend to be a good Christian in every other area. You ought to decide to step out. Think about this, okay? You can be that person to be able to build that family character, build that name back. Build that name back. You could give her a gift today. I mentioned those earlier. You could be able to give her that gift, if you would please, of just being the right type of son, the right type of mother, and a right type of daughter. You could be able to decide that you're going to be what you should be to them. You say, well, I've never done it before. It's always a good time to start. It's always a good time to start. When I was pastor of Union City Baptist Temple, we did it several times when I was there. We had called Flowers for the Living. Flowers for the Living. You know, because we always give flowers to people after they're dead. So I don't know. I bought, 700-800 flowers or so. We were only averaging, I guess, at the time, maybe 250 or so. I'm not sure. So I bought about 700 or 800 flowers, and I had them in buckets in the front, and I preached a message on flowers for the living. Then I said this, if there's ever a time that somebody in this room, ever a time where they did something and you appreciated them for it, when I have invitation, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you an opportunity to show it. Come up and get a flower and go take it to them. We had people walking out of that building. I think it was a night service. We had people walking out of that building, and man, they were bawling their eyes out. Said, nobody's ever given me a flower before. Nobody's ever showed me appreciation before. We had some people walking out, my wife will remember this, and they had like 3 or 4 flowers. Boy, and they were bouncing. Now, yes, we did. And we had people that was comparing how many flowers they got to how many flowers so-and-so got. And some of them got kind of puffy. Then I had to preach on pride. But some of them got kind of puffy. And man, they're carrying out, look, I got, and these were ladies that was in their 60s and 70s and 80s. Look how many people appreciated me, you know? And so, you know, now, what am I saying though? But you can appreciate people while they're alive. You can appreciate people while they're alive. I like writing notes and I like receiving notes. And so oftentimes, you know, when I have in my office, I'm kind of old fashioned, I guess, but I still use the old files, you know, paper files. And when people write me a note, I classify it. Is it from a preacher? Is it from a friend? Or is it from my family? So when my kids write me a note, or, you know, or Sil would write me a note, or one of the grandkids will scribble me a note, then it goes in from family. Or if I write them a note, I always copy everything that I do. When I send out, if I write a preacher note, there's always a copy of it. If I write a friend a note, if I write a family note, there's always a copy of it, a hard copy, and it goes in files. The files date back all the way to 1979. So over in my personal room where I keep stuff, I have a complete file cabinet, and I think there's three or four drawers that's filled with nothing but correspondence. Correspondence from friends over the years, correspondence from family over the years, correspondence from preachers. They've all been classified normally in those three areas. And did you know, there's been times when perhaps things just didn't go the way I wanted them to go. And so I would pull out a folder for, say, oh, I don't know, 1999, whatever the case. And I'd pull out that and I'd read. And I'd say, man, somebody appreciated what I did. And I'd just read it, you know? And I'd read letters I'd send. Yeah, I remember so-and-so. I'd read letters I sent to encourage them, to help them. Wow, and they're still at it. They're still at it. Show appreciation. Show appreciation. Show appreciation while you're still alive to be able to show it. One day, maybe you'll be gone. Maybe you'll be gone. But one day somebody, might be one of your children, going to pick up a letter from you and say, man, I remember when Dad wrote this 30 years ago. I remember when Dad wrote this 50 years ago. And it will mean a change in their life. Yeah, you can influence people. Good day starts today with loving and honoring your mother. Three cheers for mom.